Anyway, we were there for a year or so. I got 18 and I decided I was going to have a look around. In those days, all Tasmanians went to Queensland. There was no underground mine. I was going over the old alluvial tin workings. Arthur King, his name was. He was from Mount Morgan in Queensland. And he said, "When are you going to Queensland for it? Have a look around." He said, "Look, I was up there in the 20s, the boom times." He said, "The only work you'll get is cutting sugarcane. You work like a dog in the blazing sun, and when the cane season's over, you're out of work." And he made a very pertinent remark I'll never forget. He said, "You want to go where the big dividends are, and not where the big mortgages are." And I said, "Where do you think I want to go?" He said, "Go to Wiluna." "Never heard of the place. All the more reason you ought to go." And he pulled out the Sydney Bulletin. There's an article on Wiluna Gold Mine, the biggest mine in Australia. At that time, they were mining between 45 and 50,000 tonne of ore a month, broken out of the jackhammers in those days. And they were making £50,000 profit a month. That was an astronomical fortune. Wages were £3 a week if you had a job. Green as a leek, I said, "Righto, I'll go to Wiluna." Took me a week to get there from Melbourne, and to go across to Perth, 750 miles northeast of Perth, 300 miles north of Kalgoorlie, on the edge of the desert. And Kalgoorlie gets its water from the coast, in pipeline. Wiluna had a big aquifer east of the town. They had unlimited fresh water. Gardens and flowers and lawns, about 6,000 to 7,000 people in the town. It's a lovely town. Now I believe it's a ghost town. Finished. Anyway, I had no hope of getting a job in the mine. Half of the unemployed in Western Australia up there. And you had to register at the mine office. And I remember my number was over 1,100. That means that 1,100 had been registered in that month looking for work. So I got a job at a dairy out of the town. Old Peter Bremner owned it. He and his wife had no children, and she had a fox shop in Wiluna. And he used to hunt us out of bed at 4 o'clock in the morning. We'd milk the cows. We'd have a bite to eat. He and another young bloke, Johnny Hunt, was there. They used to deliver the milk around Wiluna. And I would shepherd the cows out in the bush, mulga country with saltbush and bluebush. They'd pick, that's all. And they used to feed them in the bale. And then I'd bring them in. They'd come back about midday and he'd give us a feed. And then 4 o'clock we'd milk them again. And then we'd have a bite of it and go to bed. And the big mine used to pay every second Friday. And old Peter had been there for a couple of months. He said, "Young fella, you better have a day off." Kind bloke he was. And Johnny Hunt, my mate, said, "Don't you go to Wiluna after payday." He said, "Why, you get your head knocked off." Because I took no notice of him. I come from a town, as I said, the biggest crime was riding a pushbike on the footpath. The lady at the boarding house said she'd give me a bed if I ever come in, which she did. I was walking up the town about 5 o'clock Saturday afternoon. There were fights everywhere and fellows shouting abuse in the filthiest language. I was too frightened to look sideways. I walked up and never looked, I didn't want to get my head knocked off. And I found out afterwards that the town was completely out of hand. It was just after the Kalgoorlie riots. A bloke I met in the boarding house, Rube Creevy, who was an underground miner there, a gun miner, told me the story. They sent a tough old sergeant up to clean the town up, Sergeant Cooney. I met him a couple of years later, big, tall, gaunt old bloke. And Rube said the first couple of weeks he did nothing. Walked up and down round the town with his hands behind his back, and always two young policemen with him. And he said the old fellow was only sizing the town up. They'd be walking along, and these young policemen say, "See those three fellows coming along there?" And Sergeant said, "Dodd, the fellow in the middle's the villain. The others are going along the big fellow's glory." And the old sergeant said, "Just nod and keep walking." He'd wait till one of these villains come up, and he'd pull him up and say, "Now, just hold on a minute. I want to have a talk to you." And get abused in a filthiest language. Always had two policemen. Scruff him, put him in the cop shop. And Colonel Mainsbridge was the magistrate, and he had the message. Depending on the charges, it'd be 3 months, 6 months. They had to send him down to Fremantle, the jail. They couldn't keep him all in it. The train used to come in three times a week and go out. Come in Saturday and go out Sunday about 1:30. And the mob said, "We'll show you these coppers who runs this town. We'll take our mates off these rotten-looking coppers." And half the town turned up to see the show. Only two junior policemen on the station, just walking up and down. The station master rang the bell. "All right, all the world for Perth." Train went out and everyone looked round. No villains, no cops, nothing. Old sergeant wasn't stupid. He had the engine driver and the guard oiled up, put them in the paddy wagon with a couple of guards, put them on the train about 10 miles down the track. So he wasn't stupid.
What was the Kalgoorlie riots all about?
Apparently, the Italians were getting the best jobs, all on contract, and they always used to kick back to the supervisors, and that's what it blew up. Oh, and they killed several people, I believe. Oh, yes, it was big riots.